Jim Cimbala put it this way. It's wonderful what he said. He said, I discovered an astonishing truth. God is attracted to weakness. He can't resist those who humbly and honestly admit how desperately they need him.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Friday, and welcome back to Love Never Fails. On the program today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, The Power of Weakness, from his Hebrews series, Jesus is Better. Now, here's Pastor.
A church that is not changing the world, they only have a form of godliness, but they deny its power, 2 Timothy 3:5. A church that is not changing the world is a dead church. Did you know that? Bill, are you saying that we're a dead church? I'm not saying that at all. But I don't want to be half dead either, do you? No, I want to be all alive. Listen, what did he tell the church in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 1? What did he tell the church at Sardis? He said, I know your works. I know everything you're doing. He says, and I know that you have a name, you have a reputation. People look at you, you have a name that you are alive, comma, but you are what? Dead. Nekros in the Greek. You are a corpse. You are spiritually insufficient. You are completely spiritually dead. How would you like for Jesus to say that about Calvary? Think about that. Jesus knows the true spiritual condition of every person and of every church, doesn't he? He does. And he says, you know what? Yeah, I know your works. You look like a church. You sure do. Matter of fact, you have a form of even looking like a church. And outwardly, you know what? You look really healthy. But here's the problem. Your pastor's dead. The people that your pastor pastors, they are dead. Their programs are dead. Are y'all liking that? That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, listen, your prayers, they are dead. You are a dead church. You don't expect anything from me. You're sufficient of your own sufficiency. You're not weak. You think you're strong. That's what Jesus is saying. Now listen, he said to the church that's supposed to be the church of the living God, he says, the smell of death is all over you. And do you know what happens when a person walks in from the outside to a church that is dead? They can come in hopeless and hurting and helpless and all the rest of it. And they hear that sermon and they go right back out the door hurting and helpless and hopeless. Why? Because that church is dead. Listen, we don't want to ever be like that. And the days are coming. The days are coming, loved one. Listen, whenever as the wicked become more wicked and the righteous become more righteous, the days are coming when the lawlessness that's coming, that's going to be abounding, when the love starts waxing cold, we're going to need great faith. We're not to ever succumb to what the world is doing. Do you understand? Loved one, listen to me. It says, out of weakness made strong. How? By faith. By faith. Do you know there's only two places in the Gospels that makes this statement, Jesus marveled. The first one is in, I believe it's in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 10, when the Roman centurion, the soldier, he approaches Jesus and he comes to him and says, oh Lord, listen, my servant, he lies home, he's dying. Would you come, just speak a word and he'll be healed. And Jesus was blown away. It says, Jesus marveled. And he says, I have not found such great faith in all of the land of Israel. He marveled at that. And then in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, I believe it is, verses 5 and 6, Jesus came to his own hometown, remember? And it says that Jesus marveled at the people that were there. It says because he could do no mighty works, he could do no miracles, he could do no healings. He wanted to heal people, but he couldn't because of their what?
Unbelief.
unbelief. He marveled at great faith. He marvels at unbelief. Listen, we need to walk in faith, loved one. And sometimes I wonder, I say, have we become too strong? Have we become too strong to forgive other people? Have we become too strong to truly take up the cross and carry it? Or are we're strong enough to carry maybe a part of the cross? I'll just take this little piece. I'm not going to take the whole thing. And I'm certainly not going to deny myself. We need to be careful. Hudson Taylor put it this way. All God's giants have been weak men, weak women, who did great things for God because they reckoned on God being with them. The power of weakness. Now, a transition in our text, look at verse 35. A transition now in our text, right in the middle of the scripture, is now taking place. So everything has been through faith, subduing kingdoms and raising the dead and all the rest of it. Now, all of a sudden, it's through faith you suffer. Some suffer. See, trials are our teachers and the school of faith, loved one. So look at it, verse 35, the second part. It says, others were what? Tortured, not accepting deliverance. Wow. That they might obtain a better resurrection. So did you catch that? These others in faith, it says they were not delivered. Let me explain that. It means they were not accepting what was being offered. They were refusing what was being offered. In other words, all you have to do, the torture is going to end. You want deliverance. All you have to do is deny God. That's all you have to do. Deny your God. And you can walk right out of here. They said, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to deny the faith. We're not going to deny Jesus. Amen. And they said, look what they did, that they might obtain a better resurrection. What does that mean? Well, they said, listen, you want to kill us? Okay, go right ahead. You want to torture me to death? Instant death, instant glory. Heaven is my home. I'm going to be there forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. He says in Romans 8:18, for I consider the sufferings of this present time, they're not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Verse 36. Still others had trial of mockings, that mental agony, if you will, and scourgings. What a horrible way to die. You know, the lictor's lash, if you will, full of lead and bone and hits your back and rip chunks of flesh out. Man, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. Does that continue today around the world for Christians? Yes, it does. They were stoned. That's the Jewish way of execution, by the way. Stoning, okay? Who was the first Christian martyr? Stephen. Good class, okay. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. Tradition says that was Isaiah. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being what? Destitute. That word literally means completely without any worldly wealth, which is abject or utter poverty. It says being destitute. Now, today's 21st century church, a particular camp, the faith camp, if you will, you know what they would say about that scripture? They would say, oh, they wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, didn't have any money. And you know why they didn't have any money? They didn't have any nice clothing, didn't drive Cadillacs and live in a $5 million home. They didn't have any faith. Well, that's a false doctrine. Did you know that? You'll find in a minute, every person in 11 is going to be commended for their faith. So we know that's a false doctrine. Everybody is not going to be rich. Matter of fact, some of us, if we were rich today, we'd be in trouble. Amen? They were afflicted. They were tormented. And here comes a great scripture. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts. They wandered around the mountains and dens and caves of the earth. What in the world are we going to say about these men and women? They stood in faith no matter what. While the world hated them, while the world hunted them down, and why the world murdered them. And listen to me now. They trusted God when all of the natural hope and when all of their comfort was completely removed from their life. They died in faith. They lived in faith. They suffered in faith. They never stopped loving God. They never stopped trusting God. They never stopped serving God. Wiersbe put it this way, it takes more faith to endure than it does to escape. Listen, They lost all of it, and they were content. Did they hurt? Did they feel pain? Did they do without? Did they go without? Absolutely. And we fall apart when our new car gets a dent. You know what I mean? We fall apart if we have a flat. Oh, what am I going to do? We fall. Come on. Look what God has given unto us. How can we fall apart? You're sitting. Are you comfortable where you're sitting? You like the AC unit running? Well, we're not suffering. We're not living in caves. You know, if we have one little problem, I mean, come on. Oh, my car, what's wrong with it? My brand new Cadillac. There's nothing wrong with Cadillacs. I hope you have five of them. Okay, but, you know, I don't know. The facial recognition thing, it's gone. It's not recognizing me. That was suffering for Jesus, man. No, listen. I want you to look at something, and I want you to open your hearts to this. I'm not beating on you. This is important. These words are important. I like the God's word to challenge me. I like God's word to make me feel uncomfortable at times. Do you understand? What did the Holy Spirit record for us? What did the Holy Spirit say about these men and women? You look back there at verse 38, of whom the world, what? Was not worthy. Man, I'm going to tell you what I did last night. When I read that, of whom the world was not worthy. You know what I wrote to myself? And it goes to you as well. Here's what I said. God, forgive me. That's what I wrote. God, forgive me. God, forgive us. I said, may God grant the 21st century church mercy. The world was not worthy of these men and women. Why? Because people of faith are the richest people on this planet. Hebrews 10:38, the just, those that have been declared righteous by God, the just shall live by faith. That's who we are. Morris put it this way. He said, the despised and the ill-treated group of servants of God was of greater real worth than all the rest of humanity put together. What a word that is. They were not worthy. God says, oh, these saints of mine, oh, they're not worthy of this crummy world that's full of sin and falling apart, that's cursed. And he looks at them and he says, I'm a rewarder of those kind of people. I'm a rewarder of those who diligently seek me, who believe in me, that believe that in my vocabulary, the word difficult or impossible doesn't exist, that there's nothing too hard for me. Listen to me. I'll tell you where the church is right now. And because when I read that scripture, to me, that's revolution. That's a revolution scripture. And will we be the kind of people, if need be, to join those kind of ranks with those of whom this world is not worthy? Will we be those kind of people? Listen to me now. I say this with such tenderness, such love. Our salvation, Pastor Raul said the same scripture Wednesday night. Our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Now, that salvation is not talking about now we're going to be saved. We're already saved. It's talking about the rapture of the church, us going home to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. Amen? It's nearer than when we first believed, and we're closer to it than any generation in previous history. Amen? It could happen today. I say all that to say this. It says, of whom the world was not worthy. I look at the scripture, and I don't find anybody upset. God didn't say they were upset. Did you know in Hebrews 11, you will not find anywhere where their sin is mentioned, only their faith. But sins are not mentioned. Think about that. Now listen to me. Do you think it might be time right now to stop asking God why? Why, God? Why did you let this happen to me? Why did I have to wander, live in a cave, wander in the desert? Why did I have to? Why? Do you think it's time to stop asking God for explanations? It is. This generation, we have to stop doing that. We have to stop living by explanations, and we have to start living by faith, to simply trust the God who cannot lie in good times, in bad times, when we're on top of the mountain and when we're under the mountain. Amen? We have to start doing that, just simply trusting Him. Listen, trust God. He loves you. He loves me. He loves us so much, He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins. Amen? Not only that, loved one, listen to me. God, can we not trust the one who created all things, sustains all things? Can we not trust the one who chose us in Him before time began? Can we not trust the one who has redeemed us? We're eternally purchased. Can we not trust the one who has accepted us in the blood that loves us just as much as He loves Jesus? Can we not just trust the one who said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you? Can we trust the one who has sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise, that guarantee until the day of redemption? Can we trust him? Can we believe him? You following me? Can we trust the one who has adopted us? Who said, I've forgiven your sin and I'll never remember your sin again? Can we not trust him to get us through no matter what we're facing in our life? Can we trust the one who, it says in Ephesians, that we are seated with him in the heavenlies right now? That is our position in Christ Jesus. And where is Jesus sitting? After he purged our sin, what did he do? He sat down at the right hand of God. And right now, positionally speaking, we are sitting right there. Just won't you sit there and rest for a while? Won't you sit there and say, I'm not going to worry. I'm right. Jesus has me. Are you following me? 1 John 4:17. As he is, as Jesus is right now, so are we in this world. Right now. Man, he has us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us, loved one. No. And what does it say? Look at verse 39. Oh, my. And some of these, oh, wow. All of these, all of them, each and every one of them, having obtained a good testimony. How do they get a good testimony? There it is. There's your answer. Through faith. They believed God no matter what. They stood no matter what. Listen, the Old Testament saints, they all lived by faith. They all died by faith. They obtained many promises, but they didn't obtain the promise. And that was the coming of the Messiah. They weren't born yet. It says, but God provided something better for us. I like that. Better is mentioned 13 times in Hebrews. Something better for us. Better for the Jewish believers of the first century. Better for every generation, and better for us as well. Loved one, listen, Jesus is better. He's better than the prophets. He's better than the angels. He's better than Moses. He's better than Aaron. He's better than the Levitical priesthood. He has a better sacrifice. He's a mediator of a better covenant based on better promises. Amen. Boy, we have all of those things, and we are recipients of the new covenant in his blood, and Jesus is a surety, the guarantee of the new covenant. Man, and he is our great high priest who ever liveth to make intercession for you and for me. But we can't believe him. We can't trust God by faith. We have to work through, how am I going to make it? How am I going to make this payment? Listen, I'm going to tell you, you can ask my wife, both of us, anytime. He has never, have we suffered? Yes. Have we done without? You can't believe. But he has never let us down. Never. When there was no way, he didn't make a way when I wanted it to happen. He didn't make a way even how I wanted it to happen. But he made a way that was perfect for us. Do you understand? He will never let you down. Never. But you have to believe that. You have to walk in that. Yes, it's painful. It could be a family member just killing you. I know. I've been there. I'm telling you, God, what does it say? We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses when we're falling apart. When we don't know what to do, he knows, he cares, he understands. He feels what you feel. We are his children. We are his body. He knows, he cares. Oh, look at the second part of 40. That they should not be made perfect. That word perfect, 14 times in Hebrews. Made perfect apart from us. What does that mean? Well, see, not until Christianity, the birth of the church, could the Old Testament saints, their salvation be completed and made perfect. Why? Jesus had to die on the cross for the whole world. Amen? He had to pay for the sins all the way back to Adam, all the way to, amen? So that had to happen. And when Jesus died and he rose from the dead, it says in the book of Ephesians that he who ascended also descended first, where? Into the lower parts of the earth. And then when he ascended, he led captivity captive. Who is that? Well, that was the bosom of Abraham, the Old Testament saints that were there. And he took them up to heaven. Now listen to me very carefully. What are they waiting on now? The Jewish people that are in heaven. Listen to me. They're waiting on the second coming. We're waiting on the rapture. They're waiting on the second coming. Why? The millennial reign of Christ. Why? Will they occupy the land then? Yes. The promise of God will finally be fulfilled. That remnant also, when Jesus returns of Israel, it will be saved, loved one. Look at Hebrews 12, 22. It says, but you, talking about these Jewish believers and us, all of us, but you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, or a festive company of angels. Man, they're celebrating. It says, to the general assembly and the church. That's the New Testament saints. Of all the firstborn who are registered or written down, rather, in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to spirits, here it comes, spirits of just men made what? Perfect. Listen, if we left and went to heaven right now, you know who you'd meet? Noah. He'd tell you all about the ark. Do you understand? You'd meet Job, Abraham and Sarah, Rahab. Hallelujah. Think about that. Man, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You would meet all these saints and David and Barak, Jephthah, Samson, all of them. And then you'd meet who? Paul and Peter and James and John and Matthew and Mark and Titus and Timothy. You'd meet them. Do you understand? They're real. It really happened. Oh, listen, the power of weakness, the power of weakness. See, the Word of God is how we live. We live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The power of weakness. Ephesians 6:10. Let's take that one. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord, and in the power of His might, the power of weakness. I can't do it, but You can, Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:4 says, our sufficiency is from God. 2 Corinthians 4:7, what does it say? That we have this treasure in earthen vessels. See, clay pots. We're crackpots. We mess up all the time. You know what I mean? He says that the power may be not of us, but the power may be of God. Philippians, how about 12:13, right there. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who worketh in you. Right now, He's working in you to bring about His good pleasure, His plan, His purpose for your life. Man, listen, we have it made. Do you know how many times I cry out to the Lord? This specific scripture I'm about to quote. It says in Psalm 61, verses 1 and 2, I believe. It says, O Lord, hear from heaven. In other words, would You give me Your entire ear, Lord? Will You just hear me just for a moment? He says, when my heart is overwhelmed, when I'm falling apart, when I feel so weak, I just can't go on, when the burden is heavier than I can endure, when my heart is overwhelmed, what does the psalmist cry? He says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And who is that rock? That rock is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Listen, if I've learned one thing about weakness and strength, I have learned this, that God loves to share His power with you. That's hard to believe, isn't it? He loves to see, He is so weak. Now, here, you do it, because You can do all things through Me. Amen? Now, let me give you the scripture. It's Isaiah chapter 40. You probably already know it. Verse 28, it says, have you not known? Have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth? Well, He neither faints, nor is He weary. Amen. He says, oh, His understanding is unsearchable. Here it comes. He gives power. He shares His power. He gives power to the strong. No. He gives power to the weak. Are you weak right now? He says, I'll give you power. I'll give it to you if you want it. You asked for it. He gives power to the weak and to those who have no might, no strength. He increases their strength. Even the youth will faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait, waiting is faith, waiting in expectation, who believe the promises of God, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. That means to exchange their strength from weakness to His power. They'll mount up with the wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and they will not faint. Now listen, that's yours for the asking. God loves to strengthen. Are you weak right now, Christian? Just say, Lord, strengthen me. And He will.
So, faith enables us to turn from the approval of the world and seek only the approval of God. But we must never conclude that the absence of deliverance means a lack of faith on the part of God's children. Faith looks to the future, for that is where the greatest rewards are found. God is so good, amen? Thanks everyone for listening this week. Pastor Bill will be back on Monday with more of his series, Jesus is Better. God bless, and so long for today. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.